there it stood, salvation's plan. Adam's fall and my own sin, it was all placed on him. Without the cross, I would not go. Redeeming love that sought my soul. Without the blood, where would I be? I would be lost without the cross. Mercy spilled, blood divine, on Calvary's hill, for all mankind, flowing through the ages past, destined to reach me at last. Without the cross, I would not know redeeming love that sought my soul. Without the blood, where would I be? I would be lost without the cross. I can't repay him for the grace he poured out on that tree, but I'll live my life for Jesus Christ, for all he's done for me. For me, without the cross, I would not go. Redeeming love that sought my soul. Without the blood, where would I be? I would be lost without the cross.
Great song, Brother Tony. Thank you for that this morning. Open your Bible to the book of Psalms and find number 33 in the middle of your book. The largest book in the Bible, the book of Psalms, a song book. And chapter 33, give you just a moment to find that. And we're going to look at the first four verses in this chapter. We'll read them, and let's read responsively this morning. Please join me out loud on the even verses 2 and 4. And I'll read for us verses 1 and 3. We're going to be basically in verse number 1. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good book here, in honor of the Word of God. If you're able to stand, join us. And I'll begin reading with verse 1. Join me on the even numbers down through verse 4. The psalmist wrote, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth." Now, I want you to look at verse number 1 with me. It says there, "For praise is comely for the upright." And I want to speak on the subject. That looks good on you. That looks good on you. Let's pray. Father, we're glad to be in church this morning. Thankful to have your word. Thankful to have your spirit. Thankful to have the assembly of born-again baptized believers. Thankful to have guests. Lord, just grateful. Grateful for a pretty day. It's your day. And so now, Lord, everything's good, but we need you. Without you, we fail. Without you, nothing goes well. So we ask you, oh God, please come and grace us with your presence, your power, your provision for this hour. Speak to our hearts as only you can. Fill both speaker and listener. May the Holy Spirit have his way. In Jesus' name and amen. Thank you and be seated. Keep your Bible open there to that text. We'll look at it. When a man takes a woman to be his wife, He most generally believes that he is marrying a pretty woman. There aren't many men who just marry the first woman available. I guess Adam did, if you think about it. But anyway, most men don't marry just the first female that walks by, even though she may not be pleasing to his eyes. A man marries a woman that he believes in his sight. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And he believes that she is beautiful. Then there are certain colors or style dresses, clothes that seem to enhance a woman's beauty. Now, I believe my wife is a beautiful woman. But there are times when she wears a certain color or a certain style dress, she is, to me, stunningly beautiful. And I will say to her, that looks good on you. That looks good on you. There are certain clothes that are comely for her. And I'm sure that's true about all women. There are certain clothes that make a particular woman more beautiful. They enhance a woman's beauty. They're very suitable in enhancing her beauty. Now, the psalmist said, praise is comely for the upright. Praise looks good on the upright. Praise looks good on the upright. Now, I want you to notice here that the word upright is synonymous with the word righteous in verse number 1. Look at it. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. So righteous and upright are the same word, okay? The psalmist is talking about a person who has trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Because people, that's the only way anybody, any human, can be made righteous in the eyes of God. The only way a human can be made righteous in the eyes of God is by receiving the payment for sin that Jesus Christ made on the cross of Calvary. That is the only way. I know I've said that recently in the services. Really, we refer to it every Sunday morning at some part in the message. And it's a recurring theme. It needs to be preached because people have the mistaken idea that I can be righteous by my works. I can be made righteous by getting dunked in a baptistry. I can be made righteous by joining a church roll. None of that's true. None of that's true. I want you to hold your finger here in Psalm 33 and find the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians 5. Let me show you a verse here, okay? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And we're going to look all the way down at the last verse in that chapter. Now, if you're getting familiar with your Bible, go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Keep turning to your right, past Acts, past Romans. And you're going to come to 1 and 2 Corinthians. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the last verse in that chapter. Okay? I don't hear as many pages turning. That's a good thing. Amen? So let me read the verse. Follow along. Here's what the Word of God says. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. There's a lot of he's and him's and whatever in that verse. So let me read it again. Follow along. For He, that's talking about God, hath made Him, that's talking about Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, that's you and me. Who? That's talking about Jesus. Knew no sin. Jesus was the perfect, sinless, righteous Son of God. God the Son. That we, that's talking about me and you, might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's talking about Jesus Christ. What a verse. You know what that verse teaches us, folks? That verse teaches us that Jesus took our sin so that we could have His righteousness. That's a pretty sad swap for the Lord. But a pretty good swap for us. He took our sin so that we could have His righteousness. Now, what if you were $1 million in debt? Okay? That's just hypothetical. $1 million in debt with no means of income. You've got no money. You've got nothing of any value in your house, in your driveway, anywhere. You don't have anything in savings, nothing in a lockbox. You have absolutely nothing. You're $1 million in debt with nothing to show to try to repay that debt. And a man comes along, a wealthy person. You don't know Him. He's learned about you. He's heard about you. And heard about your situation. He takes your debt. He pays your debt. And on top of that, leaves you with $1 million. That's a $2 million swing. Okay? And He doesn't just pay your debt. Now stay with me. He takes your debt. And pays it as His own. So your debt became His. Your name is taken off all the paperwork that showed you as the debtor. Your name is taken off all the paper. Everywhere you signed your name with showing that you owed money, your name is whited out and it's whisked away and His name is written in. There is no record of your debt that can be found. He not only paid your debt, He took your debt, and He left you with $1 million. That's a little bit like what Jesus did for people who are guilty of sin. Sin that bankrupts us. Sin that burdens us. Sin that binds us. Sin that blinds us. Jesus took our sin on Himself, died by the shedding of His blood, was buried in a tomb, and then 3 days later rose again to prove that He was the Son of God. And if you will receive what Jesus did for you by faith, you will admit that you're a sinner. You can't pay your own way to heaven. You're bankrupt. And you will trust in what Jesus did to save you, then you will be credited with the righteousness of Christ. Christ will not only pay your sin debt, He'll take your sin debt away. That's a pretty good deal. Maybe you thought that going to heaven is because your name's on a church roll. Maybe you thought you're going to heaven someday because you were baptized. And, you know, this or that. Tried to live a good life. Pastor, I've really tried the best I can. Well, folks, that doesn't cut it. There's only one way, and one way only, to be justified in the eyes of a holy and righteous God. And that is through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you taking your faith and placing it in Jesus, plus nothing and minus nothing. But that little illustration I told about the man who took the debt. Do you know when he took the debt of the person and paid it? That's a hypothetical just illustration. You know, he was out $1 million. Now, he might have had $1 billion in the bank, but he was still out $1 million to cover the other person's debt. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. Jesus Christ has been giving His righteousness away to people who trust Him as Savior for years and years and years, and He's not out anything. He still has as much of His righteousness as He ever had. My question today, as I start this message, have you been made righteous in God's sight through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ? Because that's the only answer that's going to stand in the day of judgment. Have you trusted Christ? Have you received Him as your personal Savior? And when you do, your account is credited with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, that's the word that's used. Let's go back to Psalms chapter 33. That's the word that's used in verse number 1. It's the word righteous, okay? Those righteous people, okay? Those who are righteous praise the praises of God, look comely on those who are righteous. That looks good on you. That's what comely means. Do you understand that? When you tell, you know, that dress, that suit, that tie, that whatever, is comely on you. It's a compliment. That looks good on you. Why, that looks good what you're wearing. That looks good on you. And the psalmist said that praise makes the saved person look good. It's comely for the saved person. Now, let me give you two or three things to think about. First of all, this morning, understand that rejoicing results in praise. Rejoicing results in praise. What is joy? Joy or rejoicing is that emotion, it is that passion that fills our hearts. How do you describe it? fills our hearts with lightness, fills our hearts with excitement, fills our hearts with pleasure. I don't know how to describe it, but you know what joy is. Joy fills your heart. And then it is often expressed out of our mouths with words that we use to try to describe what we're feeling inside. And we find some words to try to get it out. So joy and rejoicing results in praise. Here's a woman, and she's got a boyfriend or whatever, and maybe she's got a husband, and she's going along, and she gets a surprise gift of jewelry. Maybe it's a string of pearls. Maybe it's a diamond ring. Maybe it's a necklace or a bracelet with a lot of diamonds and beautiful stones in it. And she's surprised by it. And the husband or the boyfriend or the fiance pulls it out of the package and she opens it. And what does she? It's beautiful. Oh, you shouldn't have done this. Oh, I can't believe it. Oh, and what's going on? There's pleasure and there's excitement and there's lightness in her soul, her heart, and she's using words to express what she's feeling inside. The hunter goes out with his bow and arrow, and he goes out to hunt a game. And if you've ever watched any of these hunting videos, they're great. Those guys will take a deer or they'll kill a turkey. And my wife she thinks it's the most ridiculous thing she's ever seen in her life, because they shoot a deer or they shoot a turkey, and then it's like, oh man, did you see that? And I know y'all laugh at that unless you've done it. And I can tell you, man, that I experienced that very same thing some years ago when I shot that nice buck out here and when I saw him fall over and I was breathing hard in the tree. Talked to Matt Maxwell, some of these guys. Matt killed a very nice deer last year. Man, you're breathing. It's just like, and you just, it's like, oh, and old Stan Potts, if you ever saw Stan Potts on video, from Clinton, Illinois down here. And Stan had one eye that went this way and one eye that went this way. And I don't know how he ever killed anything anyway. I mean, he was like the cross-eyed discus thrower. Hey, that guy never set any records, but he kept the crowd excited. Amen. Where's that going now, huh? You watch them, and it's just like, I can't believe it. Can you? Because if you're hunting, a lot of times it happens so fast. You hunt for hours, and then in 30 seconds, it's done. And it's like, what's going on? And it's like, oh, man, I can't believe it. And if you're saved, thank you, Lord. Amen. So, and more sin is confessed on the deer stand than at a church altar, I promise you. Okay? So, it's expressions of lightness and excitement. Take the person watching the basketball game. And the team hits a buzzer beater for the win. I picked Michigan in the brackets. And they won on a last-second shot last night, I guess. I mean, a long one. The guy just launched it, and poof. And you take a team, you take a fan watching a basketball game or a football game, and just take basketball since it's going on right now, and they win in the last Loyola Chicago twice, and they win in the last seconds of the game. And what happens to the fans? Well, they're filled with lightness. They're filled with excitement. They're filled with happiness. They're filled with joy. What comes out of their mouth? Really? No, I think something comes out of their mouth. And we're okay with that. That's good. That's fine. Hey, folks, you know what the truth is? We expect the woman who got the jewelry. We expect the hunter who gets the kill. We expect the fan whose team wins the game. We expect them to express their joy with praise. That's expected. And the psalmist said, praise looks comely. It looks good. It's expected that the person who's filled with joy, filled with rejoicing, it's expected that they'll express that joy. That they'll express that joy. Not everybody will express joy the same way. Personalities dictate expressions. Going back to a basketball game, did you ever watch a buzzer beater? And they're showing the replay. It doesn't happen when it's a live game. There's too much going on. But they go back and they show the replay, and the camera angle is looking at the end of the court. Okay, so they're shooting at this basket, and the camera's behind them. And behind the backboard, the stands are filled with people. And let's say it's at the end of the gymnasium where that team that's shooting is where their fans are. And they're standing up then, and the clock's counting down, you know, in the way the clocks are now, 4.6, 4.4, you know, those tenths of a seconds. And he sits there, man, he stands there, and all of a sudden, pass, 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 shot, poof, erk. Look beyond the backboard. Watch the fans. You're going to get all kinds of expressions. You're going to get the guy who's jumping up and down, jumping up. I never forget going to a Cubs game with Keith Harrison. My goodness, you want to have a time, go to a Cubs game with Keith Harrison. He is the ultimate Cubs fan. He can tell you statistics about the Chicago Cubs that date back to Noah's day and age. I'm not kidding, amen? That was the previous time they won the World Series, okay? But anyway, I went with Keith Harrison to a Cubs game, and one of them hit a home run. And I mean, Keith Harrison, he high-fives everybody in the whole row. He's going down the hall. These people that don't know, you know, guy's got a beer in his hand. Here we go, you know. And he's high-fiving all these fans. And I mean, he's just high-fiving all of them. You've got the guy that's jumping up and down. You've got the guy that's high-fiving. You've got the fan that's sitting there, you know, clapping like this. And then you've got the guy that's just kind of. Right? Yeah, he's not jumping, he's not high-fiving, he's not running up and down the aisle, but he's happy. And he's showing it. He's smiling. He's just kind of looking all around. My goodness, man. Whoa. That's if it's one of the Georgia teams. Amen. You believe that? But anyway, we expect that. Now, look, a child of God, when an expression of praise comes from the expressions of praise that come from children of God is going to vary according to personality. But folks, the psalmist said that praise for the upright man is comely. It looks good on you. It looks good on you. So what are you saying? Smile. Be happy you're saved. You know, it looks comely for a comeliness for a Christian. There are Christians who equate a long face with spirituality. They think the longer their face is, the more deep in the Word of God. That's weird. What teenager wants to sit under that? Honestly. The psalmist says that rejoicing results in praise. I mean, sometimes it's going to swell up inside of us. Okay, you may not be the jumping up and down the aisle. You know, yay, you might be the guy standing smiling. But praise is going to, joy is going to result in some kind of praise. Some kind of praise. And when it does, it looks comely. It looks comely on you. Number two, not only number one, rejoicing results in praise. Number two, rejoicing results from our relationship with a person. Now, I want you to look at verse number one. Look at it with me. Where it says, rejoice in the Lord. That's it. Now, folks, look. Those illustrations that I gave, the woman with the jewelry, and the hunter with the game, and the fan with the basketball team winning the victory. You know, they are expressing their joy with praise. Now watch this. That is all the result of something that happened to them. You with me? The woman, what? She got the jewelry. The hunter killed the game. The fan, his team won the basketball game. If there had been no jewelry, if there had been no game animal, if there had been no win, there would have been no joy, there would have been no expressions of praise. So it's all the result of things that happened to them. Let me ask you a question. Were they things that they could control? Could the woman control the husband, the fiancé, the boyfriend giving her the jewelry? Could the hunter control getting the game? No. A lot of times it's just being in the right place at the right time. Could the fan watching the game control the outcome? No. So something had to happen to them for them to be filled with joy and for them to express that joy with rejoicing or praise. But for the child of God, for the righteous person, that's you and me if we're saved, the psalmist said, rejoice in the Lord. You know what he's saying? Rejoice in who, not what. Rejoice in the who, not the what. You know, the psalmist did not say here in the Scripture, rejoice in the Lord's power. Do you see that? No. Now, there are other places where it might say that. It does not say, rejoice in the Lord's grace. Rejoice in the Lord's mercy. Rejoice in the Lord's justice. Rejoice in the Lord's patience. Rejoice in the Lord's forgiveness. Rejoice in the Lord's kindness. Rejoice in the Lord's faithfulness. Rejoice in the Lord's love. Are all those good things? Absolutely. But the psalmist said, rejoice in Him. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in Jehovah God. Let your heart and your soul and your mind be filled with lightness, with enthusiasm, with pleasure, with excitement over who God is. He is God. He is Jehovah God. He is the only God. He is King. He is God, and there is none else. I know Him. He knows me. Glory! What he's saying here. He's saying that's comely. When you rejoice in who? You see, look folks, joy and rejoicing don't need a happening. Real Bible joy and real Bible rejoicing don't need a happening. They don't need a piece of jewelry. They don't need a downed animal. They don't need a basketball game in the win column. They don't need that. Real Bible joy is the result of a relationship with a person. And for you and me, for those of us who are saved, that person is God. Rejoice in Him. 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 God. Lord. Jehovah. King. Glory. I know Him. He knows me. That's what he's saying. Try to illustrate it. Friday, We moved my dad's still in the hospital, coming out Tuesday. We moved his belongings, his furniture, from the one care facility to another one that has more advanced Alzheimer's patient care, because Dad has advanced. I told my mother 4 or 5 weeks ago, I think Dad's had a downturn, and others saw it as well. My wife saw it. My wife talked to one of the ladies over there, and Mom saw it. Oh, we all saw it. He took a downturn, which is Alzheimer's. Part of it. And it's advanced. And so he's going to need more care. So we moved his furniture, his clothes, to a different facility. And we were setting up the room. And I appreciate Brother Mick, Brother Mike, and Brother Luke. They helped me. And, of course, my mom and my wife. We got all Dad's stuff. We got it over there in one trip. And they helped us bring the stuff in. And then it was just me and Joyce and Mom. And the bed was set up. And I did, you know, the furniture's moved in. What can I do? I can't put doilies. I can't put stuff in the right place. That's a woman's job. So I sat down. I just sat down. I was sat down. I just sat in the chair, and I just watched them put stuff around, and they're putting clothes away. And I watched my wife. And my wife got some sheets out, and she was making Dad's bed. And I was just sitting in the chair just watching her. And I watched her as her hands, you know, placed the sheets, the fitted sheet on the bed, and then, you know, smoothed out the wrinkles, and then took the other sheet, and I mean, just, you know, carefully put it on. I just watched her. I watched her move around the bed. I watched her gracefulness. I watched her femininity. I watched her just tenderness. And man alive, I'm not talking about romantic wildness. I'm not talking about, I got blessed. Wow. She's mine. And I'm hers. And we're each's. And good night. And she's been my wife. And hopefully she'll stay my wife. and she wasn't doing anything for me. And I'm not talking about, you know, I'm not talking about romantic fantasies. I'm just talking about glory. Man. And you know what, child of God, every now and again. Who you are, and it's not even about what He's done. It's about who He is. He's God. He's King. He's Jehovah. He sits upon the throne of the universe. He's Creator, Sustainer, and He's God, and I know Him, and He knows me, and it's not the what. It's the who. It's the who. It's the person. We get caught up with who God is. And the psalmist says that we should allow our heart and our soul and our mind to be filled with joy and rejoicing in the fact that God is our God. He's a personal God. And He's God. And He's Jehovah God. And He never changes. And He's always the same. And you know what's going to happen when that swells up in my soul? Well, something's going to happen. Either it's, you know, yeah. One or the other. It won't be this. You come to church service and it's been a tough week for you. Long hours. I don't know a man working a job that has short hours these days. Long hours. Maybe there's been a setback or two. I don't know. Maybe the weather's less than enjoyable. We live in Illinois, you know. Taxes went up again. Come back next week, they'll go up again. Come back next week, they'll go up again. You come into church. We sing about God. I have a song I love to sing since I have been redeemed. It's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. Just like Jesus. Boy, you start to sing and your heart's filled with joy because you know, even though things have been a little bit tough, God is God, and I know God, and God knows me, and man alive, you know, you may not be this one, and you may not be this one, but you, somewhere along the way, that praise is going to come out. And it looks good on you. Looks good on you. So I'm afraid to raise my hand. Now, it's funny, business meetings, people aren't afraid to raise their hand. I don't like to raise my hand in public. Oh, but you're doing a business meeting. Oh, Brother Angel, boy, now you were going good till you started meddling with me. Amen. Look, I'm not talking about wildfire. I'm not talking about things out of control. Where there's not decency and order, let things be done. Paul said that all things be done decently and in order. He wrote that to a New Testament church about the services. Let it be done decently and in order. But brother, I'm going to tell you something. We got the truth. We know the truth. Shame on us for thinking that spirituality is equated by a long face. Good night. You look good in that praise. You look good in that smile. You look good in that hand in the air. You look good with, well, I don't like, man, I don't like going to church because the guy down from aisle from me, amen, amen. Oh, you go to a ball game. And that guy's screaming and yelling. And you're okay at the ball game with him screaming and yelling, but oh, you don't want that in church? Oh, no, no, we don't do that in church. Oh, no, 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 we don't do that in church. Well, you don't do that in the Catholic Church. The dead is a doornail. I'm not talking about wildfire, folks. I'm talking about praise is comely. That's your opinion. Oh, I'm sorry, it's not my opinion. It's what God said. Praise is comely for the upright. So rejoicing results in praise. Rejoicing results from our relationship with a person. He's God. I know Him. He knows me. I'm going to go live with Him someday. Man. All right. Number three, we're done. Yeah, we are. Oof. Okay. Number three. Rejoicing results in comeliness when it comes from a life that is right. Now, I want you to notice here because there's no accidental word in this verse. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. Stop. Saved person. Got it? For praise is comely for the What's that saying? Praise is comely for the righteous man who's living right. Praise is comely from the righteous man who's living right. In Proverbs 11:22, the Bible talks about how foolish a jewel of gold would look on a pig's snout. Can you get the picture? You been on a pig farm? Anybody ever been on a pig farm? Oh, more than I thought. Wow. Joyce's dad raised pigs all those years. You ever been in the farrowing house? Finishing house? Confinement building? They're raunchy. Little pig stepping and all that stuff. Oh, my goodness. It's stink. 30 seconds. Don't you ever get ready to go to town to get something to eat or go out on a date and just check on the pigs to make sure they're okay. You're there more than 30 seconds. You come out of there with that stink on you. I'm not kidding. 30 seconds. It's on you. All I'm going to do is walk in there. That's enough. Now, can you imagine walking into a pig's house? A pig house. Do you own or rent? Okay, what are you doing? Can you imagine walking into a pig house, and you're going down there looking at those stanchions, and here's this sow, and she's, you know, had birth, 8, 9, 10 little piglets there, and she's laying in that stuff. And you look down there, here's this beautiful gold brooch. Let me tell you what you would not say. Oh, how beautiful. So you wouldn't say that. What would you say? What in the world? That looks ridiculous. Ridiculous. Just quoting Peggy. Ridiculous. And it would. And you know what God says? Praise coming from a saved person who's not living right looks ridiculous. This is the guy, you know, on camera after the ball game's over. Tell us, what went through your mind as you made that shot? Well, I just want to praise Jesus. Jesus is my King. I just want to give all the glory to God. Then they go back and start showing plays from the game, and you see that guy walking to the bench. You read his lips, and it's like, what did he say? No, you don't have to say, what did he say? You know what he said. This is the same guy that was giving all praise to Jesus. It's not very comely. It's not very becoming comely for a saved person who's not living right to praise God. Let me tell you how to ruin your children. Come to church and shout amen and go home and live for the devil. What is my dad saying? What is he saying? What? He was just eight Sunday. He was hollering amen. And well, Brother Angel, I was really enjoying this sermon to point number 3. Yeah, I know. It's just the way it goes. I'll tell you what's comely. What's comely is a saved person who's trying to live right. And nobody's perfect. But her heart and soul is dedicated to Christ and trying to honor the Lord with their life. And they get in the service. Or maybe it's just in their own car by themselves. And they start thinking about God and who He is. And the heart gets happy and they find some way. They find some way, and God says, you look good in that. You look good in that. You know why? Because He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worth more. He's worthy of more than your long face. Look, if you're saved, live right. Enjoy God. Enjoy being saved. Does that mean all my troubles are over? No. But enjoy being saved. Enjoy your relationship with God. And live right and do your best and follow the book and be faithful. And when that joy swells up in your heart, you know, raise your hand if you want to. I'm afraid you'll call on me. I probably won't call on you. Oh, you got a question, sir? I won't do that. I've been in some services where, you know, a lady will take a little white doily and wave it, you know. I got no problem with that. Oh. It's the house of God. Yet all the teenagers are going, ugh. They're looking for something real, folks. Real. Not wildfire, real fire. Not fake news, real news. Okay? You look good in that. When you smile, when you give testimony, when you say a praise God, when you say glory, when you say amen, and it comes from a sincere heart and living right, you look good in that. It's comely. It's becoming because the Lord's worthy. He's worthy of our praise. Let's bow our heads together. Thank you for listening this morning. Father, would you help our lives, please, to honor you and help us to serve you and live for you. And Lord, when our hearts are filled with praise because of you, help us not to be afraid to express it in some fashion or form. It comes from a sincere heart. You said it's comely, it's becoming. Looks good. So help us today. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. But please don't lose your train of thought right now while I talk to you just for a moment. Invitation time. Just kind of time between you and God right there. I would say, Pastor, the Lord spoke to my heart this morning. I try to live right, and I want my heart to be filled with the right kind of excitement and enthusiasm and pleasure. And if praise is comely because it's glorifying to God, I want to be that kind of Christian. And the Lord spoke to me about it this morning. Would you raise your hand if that's you this morning? God bless you. Amen. I appreciate that. Thank you. Take your hand down. Now let me ask a very, very, very important question. Are you saved? Are you righteous in the eyes of God? Have you come to Jesus Christ and received Him as your personal Savior? If you know for a Bible reason that you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you know that. Would you just raise your hand as a testimony to that? I'm saved and I know it. I'm saved and I know it. Thank you. You may take your hand down. Is there anybody here today who would say, Pastor, I couldn't raise my hand just then. I was honest. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I don't know if I died today that I would go to heaven. I don't know that. I don't know if I'm righteous in the eyes of God by a Bible standard. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? I just would ask God to speak to your heart this morning. Just slip it up where I can see it. Take it right back down. Front to back, side to side, upstairs, downstairs. I don't know that I'm saved. All right? If you're saved, you've not been baptized. Some of you we spoke to about taking the step of obedience to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. You want to do that. You want to honor Christ, live for God. You want to follow that first step of obedience. Then you need to come this morning. Tell one of these men, I've been saved. I need to be baptized. Especially if we talk to you about it. I encourage you to do that. Step out and follow Him this morning. If you have talked to us about joining the church, you know this is the place God wants you to come and be a member, then come at this invitation time. This is the time for us to speak back to God with our heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're not saved, you just come right down the aisle, invitation time, tell one of these men, I need to be saved. Or I need to be baptized. Or I came to join the church. I talked to somebody about it. Or just come and pray and kneel and say, God, I want my praise to be comely. I want it to be from a sincere heart and rejoice in who you are. Help me to live that kind of life for Christ's sake. Use the altar. Use the invitation time to speak back to God. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And the ladies are playing a song of invitation this morning. You obey the Lord today. You obey the Lord. While we wait, if you want to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, now's the time to come. Just step out and come to the front. We'll get you baptized while we wait today.